Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. When Jesus isn't there, I mean, can you imagine the women's conversation when they got to the tomb? Luke simply writes, they were perplexed about this. Perplexed? I mean, talk about an understatement. Can you imagine the panic? The preposterous nature of finding this tomb empty? Just imagine them showing up and looking in. Jesus isn't here. What do you mean he isn't here? Where is he? Where is Jesus? Where did he go? What, did you lose him? Is this the right tomb? I didn't lose this. This is the right tomb. Did you lose him? No. Somebody lost Jesus. I mean, how could you lose Jesus? He was dead. It's not like some dead guy got up and started walking around again. I mean, when you're dead, you're dead. You're right. Let's just think this through. Okay. So let's retrace our steps. So on Friday, we watched him die on the cross. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I know I'm never going to be able to forget it. Because there he was, our Lord, up on the cross, and he was the one we had finally thought had come to save us, and yet there he was, saying, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." And then I watched him stop breathing. Finally, Joseph of Arimathea came with rolls of linens, and we took his body down from the cross and wrapped it in linens and then carried it here to this tomb where we laid him. And we put the stone over the door so the wild animals wouldn't get it. And then the Sabbath was about to start, so we hurried home to prepare all these spices and ointments so we could come back and better clean and anoint his body like he deserved. But he's not here. And then suddenly two men in dazzling clothes show up, standing beside them. And, I mean, they're probably kind of laughing. Of course he isn't here. Jesus, he wouldn't be caught dead here. Why do you look for the living among the dead anyway? He's not here, but he has risen. Don't you remember what he said? Yeah, don't you remember that he told you that this exact thing would happen? Oh, we forget things. We selectively remember things. There was an older man in my internship parish in Iowa who loved telemarketers. Anytime a telemarketer would call, he would think, "Oh, perfect. Now I get to use my favorite joke." Oh, hello? Hello? What? Yeah, that's me. What? What? Sorry, son, you're going to have to speak up. I can't hear too well. My wife tells me I lost 50% of my hearing the day I got married. Oh, how selectively we hear and remember. How easy it is to forget. What have you forgotten, bud? Gene, what have you chosen to forget? You probably can't remember because you forgot. Jesus' disciples, even these women who are so devoted to him, they selectively remembered and listened only to the good things. When Jesus predicted his death, they quickly pushed it out of mind. No way, that's not going to happen. But then when the bad things did start to happen, when the crowds turned ugly and started yelling out, "Crucify him!" suddenly they didn't have a clue what was going on because they forgot. What happens when we forget? God, what happens when we forget God? This is the way our lives are so often shaped. God becomes an afterthought, or maybe not so much an afterthought, but a selective thought. We tag God onto the end of political slogans in order to make ourselves sound more morally righteous than our opponents. Or we grasp at God when we're in a crisis, but we forget about God when we make our business transactions, or when we make our purchasing decisions, when we go about our daily lives. I think God does get a spot. God gets a place. But we selectively choose it. In our homes, perhaps. Maybe around our dinner tables, at least. At least for the first minute when we say grace. And Sunday mornings. God gets Sunday mornings. Well, some of the time anyway. Maybe God can get every other Sunday morning. Maybe one Sunday a month. Or Easter. God definitely gets Easter. Move over, bunny. This is God's day. God gets this building, the church. God can stay in this building. This is where we like to leave God, tucked away somewhere nice, safe. Maybe a little dusty, but preserved, waiting here for us whenever we're ready to come back or when we need God for something. But God isn't here. Were you looking for Jesus this morning? I'm sorry to tell you, he's gone. I'm not quite sure where we put him. I checked the closets downstairs. I even checked the gospel reading this morning, but I couldn't find Jesus anywhere. Did one of you borrow Jesus? Carol, did you borrow Jesus? You forgot to bring him back? It's okay if you did. You didn't lose him, did you? No, I think what happened is God's not waiting around on us. Jesus is out and about. Jesus is alive, and why are we coming here and expecting that Jesus has just been sitting around like furniture? Unloving, unmoving, like a tub or a table or a pew or a pulpit. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus isn't here because he's alive out there. Because Jesus has work to do. There's good news to bring to the poor. There are captives to be released. Let me say that again. There are captives that need to be released. There are blind people who must be taught how to see. There are oppressed people who must be set free. Sick people who need to be healed, the lost who need to be found, the lonely and the estranged who need to be loved. There are hearts to be mended, comfort to be brought, powerful knees to be bended. Our Easter proclamation is that there is a new and wondrous thing going on. And I know the old world is hanging on. I know its powers are threatening and will threaten yet even more retribution and obstinance and death. But those who hear the dazzling truth of those in dazzling clothes have the chance to open their eyes and finally see the new world of the risen and living Christ. And in this new world, in this royal reign of Christ, the crucified and risen one, Christ, who is the knee bender, who is the low lifter, who is the heart healer. In this new world, the church was never supposed to be the place where we go to find God. Not this living God, no. I think it's like Alice Walker's blues singer, the sultry blues singer Shug Avery, says in her novel, The Color Purple. She says, "Have you ever found God in church? I never did. I just found a bunch of folks hoping for him to show. Any God I ever felt in church, I brought in with me. And I think all the other folks did too. They come to church to share God, not find God." Church is where we come to share God, not find God. Church isn't the place where we find Jesus. Church is the place where we testify to what we have seen and what we have found. It's the place where we gather, not to go searching for the Savior like he's a lost Easter egg, but to tell the story about where we already ran into him, about the street corner, about the jailhouse, about the eyes of the weary and the hands of the broken. Yeah, that's where we saw him. And we come to church to celebrate that we see him, to celebrate Jesus and to lift him up and to praise the one who has never stopped working, not one day. And when we listen, when we truly listen to each other, we don't just get inspired, but we get equipped. We leave here with new eyes. We walk out of these doors ready to see God, not just in pews and pulpits, but in every aspect of every inch of every land and of every person on this earth. Of every person on this earth. I want to tell you this morning that I gathered this week with a small little group, just about 30, clergy and other people of faith, of interfaith. We gathered on the side of the road, not for fame or fortune, but just to remember. Remember the humanity of those that this world is trying to forget. I'm talking about the incarcerated, the locked up, the deported or disappeared, the written off. And we came together, called together to stand in holy defiance and to declare that these are still God's children. And as I looked around, I saw love in that circle. And I've seen it in more circles than just that one. The kind of love that looks past any criminal record or accusation and sees a sacred somebody. Because sometimes, dear people, those records, those accusations, they ain't justice. They're injustice, dressed up in legalese and fear-mongering. They're the scars of a system that protects the powerful and punishes the powerless. And the Spirit, is a Spirit that teaches us to love anyhow. That teaches us to see worth where the world sees waste. And to see life where the world sees death. I'm telling you that Jesus is alive. And if you can't find Jesus, then you've been looking in the wrong place, because he's not among the dead, but among the living. Now, we have these sacraments, Holy Communion and baptism, and we'll celebrate both of those days. I don't want you to be mistaken, though, about them. I mean, if you came up and you peered into that baptismal font, you probably wouldn't see the Holy Spirit just lounging in there all lazy in the tub of water, waiting for us to dunk someone's head into it before she goes to work. I mean, you came up and you looked at the bread and the wine, you wouldn't see Jesus hanging out somewhere inside the bread or at the bottom of the cup of wine, just waiting until we decide that it's time that he comes out. No. These sacraments, they don't control or shackle the mysterious power of our God, but they do give us a frame. They frame our vision. Like a fine frame around a painting or a photograph, they help us to see the subject clearer. They draw our focus not to the unliving materials of bread and wine and water, but to the entire universe, to the living God, to the Holy Spirit, to the living and breathing and heart-beating risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who is with us now, not because he's been waiting around all week here in the church for us to show up this morning, but because we brought him in the door with us. Bud, you brought him in the door. Carol, maybe you stuffed some Jesus in your purse. Pear, I know you got him in your heart. We bring the Word, the living Word, our Word of the living God with us as we gather. And when we come around these things, we marry it to these things as a way to tell the story that is otherwise too dazzling to be believed. And yet it's true, nonetheless. Today we baptize Max and Nora. And in their baptisms, we're not initiating the Spirit's work in them, but we are completely uncovering it. And we are saying aloud what God has been up to in them, so that they and so that we will never forget it. People, Jesus is done waiting. He didn't wait for the women to get to the tomb before he got up. He didn't sit in the shadows of death waiting for permission to rise. And he's not waiting for us either. There's kingdom work to be done. And praise be to God that we don't worship a dead king or a buried savior, but we serve a risen Lord. For hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So go and see the living God and share the living God and boldly take part in what Jesus is up to in our world. And then come back and tell your story. Let's stand and sing.